What's the logo on your top?
Well, I'm glad you've asked that, actually, Bernie, it is an Under Armour top. It's my Masters Special Under Armour top.
What's the logo? It's a bit different, isn't it?
What's your first...
So I thought it was a crocodile when I saw it from a distance.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I thought it was a sandwich.
Oh, yeah, could be. Oh, yeah, it does look like one now. Yeah, I only saw it from, like, a distance, and now I look at it, I was like...
It looks like a ham. It looks like a cheese and tomato sandwich.
It's just the colours, I guess, isn't it? But
I'm not 100% sure.
It's not really Under Armour, is it? Oh, okay. Tonal logo.
Subtle.
Subtle, yeah. Just like you.
Subtle. Post-Masters.
Yes. Reflection.
Reflection of the Masters. Did you watch much of it?
Yeah, nearly. To be fair, nearly all of it.
Did you?
I missed a little bit on Thursday because I watched West Ham lose, which I wish I'd have watched it. I watched right until the end of Thursday night. I watched most of Friday afternoon, got back. I just got my work done early and got it. Sunday, I didn't watch it until the leaders teed off because there was too much waffle before. It just went on and on. And I'd had enough, I'll be honest with you, I'd had enough of Laura Davis by Sunday mid-afternoon.
Well, we will come on as we move on through this episode as to talk about what you felt like the Sky, because ultimately all we get over in the UK is Sky.
Sky coverage, yeah.
What you thought, because we were speaking on the phone last night whilst the Masters was going on, and I know you weren't overly impressed with the commentary of what was kind of coming out of Sky. And you weren't the only one. There were a number of people that sort of jumped on the bandwagon with that, certainly through the week and then coming into the weekend. Scottie Scheffler, though, to go on and
youngest ever dominate. No, second of it, that's right. He's one of the youngest ever to win it twice, isn't he? He's 27.
Yeah.
Nearly 28 years old, and he's won it twice already. I mean, how many do you think he could win?
It's a really interesting question because I was thinking about that this morning as well. Because
he's 28, so you'd think he's got another, what?
I know,
17, 18 really good attempts if you look at how the longevity of golfers these days.
He's very impressive. It's more like, you know, does he dominate? Does he dominate? If he dominates the way he's dominating for the next 10 years, then his majors could be very impressive, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's won three times this year already.
Do you think he'll be the next person that wins a Grand Slam?
Career Grand Slam?
Yeah.
If I was going to have a bet, I would bet that he's going to do it before Rory does it, if Rory does it. Well, because he only needs one for it, doesn't he? He needs the Masters. So, I mean...
Do you know what's against Rory?
Pressure?
It's at the same course every time. I think Rory would have got the Masters done if it was on a rota.
Yeah.
Because I think he could have just bounced around a few different golf courses and then got it done. But I think because the more you play Augusta, the more it can build, you know, play one golf course all the time, you start to hit those pinch points of anxious areas.
That's what we do, isn't it? We say about being scar tissue. Playing golf courses and having bad experiences. They play on your mind, don't they? You stood on a particular shot or over a particular... It's just so difficult to get out of that mindset. And I know that the better players are able to take one shot at a time. But for us mere mortals, it's so difficult, isn't it, to actually stay in the moment and not think back to negative experiences and things that have happened and, you know, things that have cost us. And I guess he's probably in the camp that we're in a little bit with that he's had a few near misses there and a few disasters which have ultimately cost him ever winning the Masters.
So I didn't want to do a show before the Masters because obviously all people talk about is, oh, who's your pick going to be for the Masters? Yeah. And somebody did ask me, I want to say like literally one person that messaged me and said, oh, who's your pick for the Masters?
I had
Masters?
The same as well.
Just one person.
Yeah. And is it Gary Smith?
No, it wasn't Gary, actually.
Gary asked me.
Did he?
Yeah.
But I just said at the time, I said, it's hard to really look past Scottie Scheffler.
He was the favourite with the bookies. He was considerably... His price was half the price of his nearest competitor.
Yeah.
He wasn't quite in the Tiger Woods when he was dominating here, when he was odds on to win tournaments, when he was winning sort of one every two starts. But it was a short price. He was unbackable, really. Yeah. Like, for how many people are in the field. But he did exactly what he said on the tin, didn't he? Really, he won comfortably in the end.
What do you think it is that is making him, allowing him to be able to win the way he's winning?
I mean, Masters in a tournament wise, he didn't really make. He did. I mean, he had a minor blip, didn't he? But he dealt with that and sort of moved on. And he was just, his iron play is particularly impressive, isn't it? Distance control was good. He's good off the tee as well. I mean, his swing and his feet movement is unconventional. And I wouldn't recommend that everybody tries his foot movement, but he's tee to green. He's so consistent. It's just so good tee to green, isn't he? I mean, his putting, we know about that. He's had issues with it in the past, and he still seems to have a few, I guess, minor issues still now, isn't he? But he's managing it, and being an average putter compared to other players on the tour, and he is very average at putting. He's still dominating and winning events. I mean, if he was a better putter, then nobody would get a sniff at anything, I don't think. At the moment, anyway. But I mean, people have dominated like he has for short periods of time, haven't they? You know, if you look back, you look at someone like David DeVoe. He had 18 months of unbelievable. When he won the Open around that time, he was shooting, he was appearing on every leaderboard, but it only lasted maybe 18 months. You know, you get people that sort of turn up and you think, wow, they're going to be like, you know, something special, and then they just disappear. So it might happen to him.
Yeah.
It might just be a small period. I mean, that makes Woods' achievement so ridiculous that he was so good for, you know, a decade, unplayable for a decade.
So I've been thinking about it, and I think, you know, you've kind of scooted around the fact that, you know, he's a great player when it comes to off the tee box. He's a great iron player. You know, short game's tidy. You know, if you look at all areas of his game for this week, I mean, he's driven the ball really nicely. Yeah. He's long off the tee as well, so that's a good weapon.
Yeah, he's not short.
His iron play is obviously very good. He's chipped. I've seen him chip in once on the first hole on the last moving day, was it?
Yeah.
On Saturday. He's binned a couple of long putts throughout the week, so he's not bad, is he? Like, he's got the overall game.
But there are
50 players in that field this week that can hit the ball, can chip the ball, can putt the ball like he can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I've thought about what with him, and I've listened to some of his interviews.
Mental strength?
Well, the thing with mental strength is it's all about the fear factor, isn't it? So it's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of the miss. It's the fear of failure. Fear of failure. There's lots of fears, isn't there?
Yeah.
That people have when it comes to the game of golf or any walks of life. Mm. However, listening to him is, because he's quite a religious guy, he basically believes that anything that happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So everything is
fate.
It's laid out. Yeah, yeah. So any shot that he hits, was always going to happen.
Right.
Any putt that he misses, any putt that he holds, was always going to happen. Now, when you stand, like, and don't get me wrong, you can't just learn that. Like, that's not something that, you know, he's grown up with that as something that's been part of his life. But you think about that. When he stands over every shot, okay, he goes through the process of choosing the shot that he wants to hit, or him and his caddy decide what he's going to hit, but all he's got to do is pull the trigger with no concern, because if it goes right or goes left or goes out of bounds or goes in the water or goes in the hole, that was always meant to be. Does that make sense? So he has his life is, in his mind, his life is kind of laid out for, it's already laid out. And this is the most amazing thing that I've been trying to get my head around is, how do you compete against that? Because a lot of bad shots come from tension, come from a fear thing. If we look at some of, you know, if we look at your putting, we look at some of my woes over the years.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from a fear of the unknown, a fear of missing, a fear of this, that, and the other. So it creates then you compound the issue. How do you compete against somebody that is just not, is fearless?
Yeah, I guess as well, you could look at, he was all the way through the week, his wife, for anyone who doesn't know, was heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think her due date was round The Masters, yeah. And he was saying, we never know whether this is true or not because it never happened, but he was genuinely saying that if she went into labour, he was literally walking straight, wherever he was walking off the golf course and leaving to be there when she gave birth. So, I mean, we don't know whether he would have
I believe he would have.
I would probably, if I was going to bet, I'd have said, yeah, he would do that. But it just then, for me, that makes the priority of winning a major championship he's putting beneath having his first child. And I bet there's a lot of golfers and a lot of sportsmen that winning such a prestigious event as a major championship or being world snooker champion or whatever, they would have been like, they'd have put that ahead of the birth of their first child. And maybe that takes a bit of pressure off actually going on to win it. Like McIlroy's probably his main priority is to win. I mean, he won't overly openly admit it, but maybe his priority is to win the Masters, and that he's put that so high on his list of what he wants priorities to achieve. Whereas Scotty's like, well, I've won a Masters. If my wife's gone, I'm leaving. I mean, that's a big decision to make, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how you
compete against that. To know that everything's just, it is what it is, it'll be what it'll be, and that's an amazing, that's like that bubble, do you remember, it would have been back in like 96 when we were both maybe hitting that bubble,
but I don't remember, I think I popped quite early,
but you know when you fall into that bubble, you finish a round of golf, you've actually shot a decent score, and you think back and you can't remember what just happened, but you came in and you've shot 65 or whatever it is.
It's a strange one. I mean, the beauty of golf is, and that there's so many different ways to do it, isn't there? And there's so many golfers have got. It's not like if you're playing snooker, you need to be a decent potter and a decent, you need to have a good safety game. But you could have weaknesses and still win, can't you? Yeah, and there's loads of different characters who've got different beliefs and different. I mean, Woods was so single-minded, wasn't he? I mean, he wouldn't acknowledge crowds years ago. He was, like you said, in his own bubble. But golf seemed to be his. Well, I mean, you can only look at his social life and his family life. That golf was obviously his main priority, wasn't it? His main focal point in life, and it seems to, he's mellowed now over the years. I guess he's had to. He would have been your complete opposite to Scotty, wouldn't he? I mean, he was out partying, drinking, women, I'm not going to say anything else because just in case he sues me. But yeah, he was doing stuff that you wouldn't associate with a sportsman. He's one end, isn't he? And Scotty's like a family man. He's at home. Golf is a big part of his life, but definitely not seen as a priority.
So what about the Masters itself then? So is the Masters, you were saying, I was just a bit fed up with it from does the Masters go on too long? As in, it's all week. I know we haven't had a major championship for nine months leading up to it. Does it go on too long? Is it a little bit too much of a Disneyland kind of story? What's your take on it?
It's a tricky one. I mean, I regard the Masters as the start of the golf season. It's the build-up to it. The Masters over, but the golf season started. The excitement.
But bear in mind, it's been raining today.
Yeah, I know.
And it's been windy, and you were supposed to play, but you didn't bother playing.
I couldn't. It was just too wet and horrible.
Yeah.
And I like the build-up. I watched more coverage because I knew we were going to do this because I was interested in it. There's a few golfers now that I seem to like.
Yeah.
Want them to do well. So I watched a lot of the build-up from sort of Monday onwards, and I watched a lot of the golf. But some of it is overkill. There's bits of the coverage which I've got absolutely no interest in. There's some of it's very outdated. If I start with the commentators, there's a few of them and a few of the experts that add so much to the coverage, and there's others that I can't see why they're there. They're ticking boxes. Because they're there and they just don't contribute anything of any significance or important, and a couple of them clearly don't have any interest in golf anymore or don't know anything about golf. And some of the things they say, don't get me wrong, I'm no expert, but I did teach golf and I know my way around golf. Some of the things they were saying, absolute rubbish. Like, it was just laughable. Like, yeah. And I just felt like maybe they should have just come at some of those people, and I won't name necessarily names, but we all probably know who we're talking about, should have come in for a couple of minutes and gone, not sat there all day spouting a load of rubbish and almost dragging it out to make the programme last 9, 10, 11 hours, rather than it could have probably been condensed into a 5-6 hour programme. That's only my opinion. I mean, there'd be some people that probably love listening to some of the stories from golfers. And
I love it. I think the Masters is a fantastic event. Is it my number one? Probably not.
It's number two for me.
It's number two for me as well, probably. The Open and then the Masters, probably.
Yeah, that's the order I'd go in.
But I just see the Open as just raw golf. It's just golf, isn't it?
It's golf in its purest form.
Yeah.
On a links golf course, how golf more or less started, that style of golf course with the elements.
Yeah. Whereas the Masters to me is a show.
Yeah.
It's turned into
it's manicured, isn't it? Show. Yeah, of course it is. But you know? I mean, there's a place for it in golf, and it's a place that needs to be respected. It's a different challenge. And it was a challenge on the Saturday, wasn't it, with the wind?
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Thought he was going to sort of come through there and chase it down.
I'm one of those that wasn't a massive fan of his maybe 3-4 years ago, but since he's got a YouTube channel, watched a bit of him. We spent a little bit of time with him at the Open last year, not in his company as such, but we stood in the range with him for, a good hour and a half, and he was having a bit of a laugh, and... You know, we weren't communicating with directly, but he was looking at us and sort of saying stuff, wasn't he? And saw a more human side to him. And I also stood by the putting green. We're lucky enough that when we had our passes, we could go right up to the putting green. He was putting, he was the last one on the putting green, last one on the driving range. So saw sort of another side to him. And I do like him now. I genuinely he's a bit eccentric, isn't he?
Yeah.
And what he does, but I like it. You need characters, and he's definitely a character who I guess divides opinion.
I thought it was so funny with the sign. He picks up the sign.
And
what was walking around with the sign on his arm? Where are you going?
Who turns up to a tournament with a set of clubs that have literally been passed by the RNA days before and then games them?
Were they 3D printed?
Yeah, games them as well. Literally, unbelievable.
Amazing.
But yeah, he got it going, didn't he, first round, and then a couple of mistakes. He held it together well on the Saturday because he pitched in for birdie, which when he was unravelling to give himself a chance, but just Scotty was too solid, wasn't he?
Tiger Woods overkill again for the tournament?
Yes and no. Great achievement.
24
breaking
cuts.
The records most, after doing
from
that.
Freddie, yeah.
Beating Freddie's record, apparently phoned him up to let him know and give him a bit of banter, and it was nice to see him. He was hanging around with the amateur on the range.
Yeah.
I think the amateur was giving him
they were playing together.
Yeah, he was giving him a bit of a lesson as well, talking to him and stuff. And that was a side of Woods that you wouldn't have seen 5-10 years ago. So that was nice to see, and him acknowledging the crowd and, arguably one or two best golfer in the world out of all time, depending on your opinion. So it was good to see that, but it was also, did you find it a bit painful, him walking the last couple of rounds, and he just looked in pain, and I don't know, I just
think it's time, for me, I think it's time for him to, I don't want to see him give up, but I think there's a fantastic Champions Tour out there.
Yeah, and he's got a couple of years,
and he's got a couple of years left. I think it's, he's going to be able to play golf in a buggy.
Yeah.
I think the focal point should be for that to happen, and don't get me wrong, he's gonna come back and play in the Masters, isn't he? And but I just think it was just all a bit too hyped for my liking.
There was a lot of coverage for him.
A lot of coverage for him.
Too much, I feel. Yeah,
I just let him play, and I don't think that because he's not, when I think about Tiger, and the one thing that really sort of pushed me towards enjoying watching him play was that you kind of. He was very jumpy around still, though, wasn't he? He would fist pump a lot of putts. He would, he would hit the wild shot, but then he would recover the shot, just similar to Seve in many ways, and even Bryson to now to some point. But he just seems to me like it's just a robot playing golf now. There's no real emotion that he shows massively on the golf course anymore. It's like he's trying to hold this position as the elder statesman.
I guess it'd be if he was up there competing, you might see some of those traits again.
Possibly.
But I mean, his on the Friday, he played 23 holes.
Yeah.
His ball striking and the way he played that golf course was phenomenal. Like just the control and the shot making, it was basically classic Woods.
Yeah.
Like if any youngsters who watch this, I don't know, we probably don't get many that watch it, but anybody who never saw prime Woods, like literally go and watch, probably go back and
YouTube
watch Friday, or yeah, I mean, go and watch Friday's golf because it was. And if you haven't seen much of it, like go and watch it. It was phenomenal. Yeah. Like honestly, it was vintage Woods for those 20 odd holes.
I'm
or,
sure you can go on YouTube and just watch him play that golf course.
The control and the way he played around that golf course and the way he positioned his ball around there. It was a delight. Honestly,
we shouldn't talk too much about Woodsy because we don't get many views when we talk about Woodsy.
What about Jose?
Yeah, 58 years old. Well, Vijay Singh as well.
Yeah.
Vijay Singh, Jose Maria Alathar will both making the cut.
Well, Jose doesn't even play. It's the only tournament he plays the last couple of years.
No. Does he not play seniors tour anymore?
He does, no.
European
as far as I'm
stuff.
Aware, he's more or less retired, but right. He rocks up every year in the Masters and he made the cut.
So good.
Which is... I think
Vijay shot level par on the last day. Or
he still looks fit though, doesn't he? Like
he does work out a lot. Still beats lots of balls. Like he's a workaholic.
Because he was always renowned in his
Bernard Langer.
Yeah, he was renowned, wasn't he, in his tour days on main tour of hitting thousands of balls. But the guy still looks. I mean, he sort of defies age. Doesn't he? Like he just. I bet his body age is way lower than his actual physical age. But yeah. It's good to see, isn't it? And I guess that's going back to the Masters. That's one of the beauties of this event. That it's not necessarily you don't necessarily need to be a bomber to make cuts and score around there, do you? You do need a bit of a bit of mental strength and a few other attributes rather than just whacking your driver as hard as you can.
Talking about mental strength and whacking the driver as hard as you can. What you got going on this week? Got anything vlog-wise coming out?
I've got two videos out this week.
Hot news.
Yeah, some breaking news. That'll be out before this video.
Right.
So that'll be on the channel. And then at the end of the week, I'm building a set of irons that I'm going to potentially use for 2024. So anybody who's interested in club building or...
There's a lot of people out there, Benny.
Or how you do that, then... If you want to see how I do it, which is different to some people would suggest or how people would recommend, but it might be interesting to view people yourself.
Note to oneself and note to you.
Yeah.
Do not put a video out during the Masters.
I didn't.
Ever again.
Did you do one?
Yeah. I put out a break pass series at Saunton, which was fantastic.
That was Wednesday, wasn't it? Monday, Wednesday?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh, okay. I only seen Monday, Wednesday. Probably just summed up there. I've not seen Friday yet. Yeah, you know, dies on Friday.
The comments that we had, myself, my brother and Joe the Pro, the comments we had were fantastic. But it just bombed. And I had our French Sunday show ready to go out Sunday. And I was like, I'm not going out.
No, don't put it out.
Because it's a bit of a timeless Sunday show in the fact that it's not really talking about anything current.
No.
I could be able to put that out a week, so I'm going to put that out next week. I've got a couple of extra bits that I'm going to add to it, but so great pass series, which if people haven't checked that out, make sure you check that out because
I watched the first two parts, but I didn't even read that, to be honest, because of the Masters, you just
busy.
Forget about it, don't you?
You're busy watching the Masters, so do not. I'm never going to do that again. In fact, just a note to everybody, I'm not going to be putting a video out at any of the any of the major weeks. Maybe the PGA might be able to get away with.
I guess you can get out early in the week, as long as you don't clash with any of the
But the Masters goes on a week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a busy, busy week. But I'm hoping this week that I want to get out, I don't want to talk about what we're actually going to film, but I want to get out with you, Joe the Pro, you, the three of us, here at Churston. I've got a bit of an idea, which I think... will just be a bit of fun for us, but ultimately it'll be fun for somebody else as well to be involved with the commentary side.
I know the idea and I think it'd be very good.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun. So that's the plan. So that's my plan for the week.
We didn't even speak about my favourite Swedish golfer,
Annika Sörenstam.
No.
Henrik Stenson. No. Jaakko Salonen.
No, he was. I liked him though.
He was good.
Jesper Parlevik.
Jesper Parlevik.
No, we missed out on him.
But Ulrich Johansson.
He was good as well.
There's some good ones, aren't there?
Yeah.
Who's your
favourite? There's a better one now, though.
Did he finish second in the Masters by any chance? His first major. How do you turn pro, play in a Ryder Cup before you play in a major?
That's ridiculous.
And then you play in your first major and you finish second and actually had a good run of going for the title.
Do you know what I liked about him during this week?
We're talking about Åberg,
yeah.
Åberg?
I would say Åberg.
Yeah.
What I liked is he had on the last day he had a bit of a double and
he smiled it off.
Literally was thanking the crowd and stuff afterwards and between holes and like I mean that's yeah just the way he reacted to that was just brilliant and I was like mate you're going to be doesn't need me to tell him but he's going to be a major champion definitely
superstar like, absolute superstar. And I think there's a lot of tour players saying the same thing. A lot of very good.
It was
tour
funny
how
he's been so loved already. Even the Americans think he's brilliant. And then what the treatment of Zach Johnson as well.
Oh, what
that
happened
was
there?
Shocking. Yeah. So he was getting stick all week. There was like a few little comments which I picked up when I was watching. And obviously they mentioned it, but he basically missed a putt, and they also of course. Quite a few in the crowd were cheering it, which I presume was I wouldn't have thought. Would you think it was Americans doing it?
Yeah. It was probably to do with the Ryder Cup.
So he told him to,
Foxtrot Oscar.
Do one basically, and had a little bit of a row with a few of them.
Wow.
And there was just a few. It was a bit unsavoury, really. He didn't react well to it, but they shouldn't have. I mean. Show some respect.
Yeah,
that's
but
what I'd
it doesn't normally. That wouldn't normally happen at the Masters either, because they're pretty strict on what you can and cannot get away with. I thought what was interesting as well was Jason Day in his outfit, and the Masters actually asked him to take his top off.
Yeah, I mean,
it was too loud or something. I mean, I don't know. There might be a policy like that. Like at Wimbledon, you have to wear white.
You have to wear white, and you're not supposed to have massive sponsors.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what
it will be then.
Yeah, all white and then small sponsors. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't think there was a dress code at the Masters, but obviously there must be. But I mean, I know I'm all for like new brands coming to golf and, you know, making it a little bit cooler, I guess. But you couldn't pay me to wear that top he was wearing or those trousers. Like they were literally.
I mean,
like,
in some ways, if you think about it from a sponsorship point of view, it's brought attention to it. Hasn't it? It's brought attention to the fact that he's been asked to take it off. Therefore, everyone wants to know, well, what was the top he was wearing?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah. It brings the brand to the forefront. But it was just, I don't know.
Great marketing opportunity.
I just felt like if the wind had got up on Saturday, he could have ended up in like across the Atlantic.
Blown away.
Yeah, it looked like a kite. Yeah, his trousers. They were just too tight. They were just too baggy for me.
Well, all in all, Bernie, I think it was a very good Masters. I think the golf course was challenging enough for them. The scoring didn't go stupid.
No.
There was a number of very good players in the hunt coming into the back nine of the championship, which is what you want. You don't really
want to. The course was fair,
away.
I thought.
So
scoring was all right.
And one day, you and I may have an opportunity. Well, I'm not sure about you. I have to
swim across.
But we may have an opportunity to go and play it one day. Yeah. So if you are watching and you're a member of Augusta... Feel free to send us the invite.
I'll even get on a boat and travel 3 weeks to go and play it.
Yeah. I'll probably see you over there.
Meet you over there.
See you over there, yeah. Be a hell of a boat trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what a trip that would be.
What a trip that would be. Well, on that note, thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you again for the next episode. Okay.